So we're going to get right into the message. We are going to be all over within the New Testament. All of the scriptures will be on the screen behind me. In the past, you've heard me talk that there was always the sound that the clearing of my grandmother's throat, all it took was just that sound, and immediately my head turned, and I knew I was in trouble. My uncle and I were the same way. It didn't matter. But there was also the look. Now, that really wasn't my grandma's thing. That was more my grandfather's thing. I think I was only whooped by him one time. That's whooped, let me tell you. Cracked, whatever else. I don't think you're allowed to say that today. Used the paddle, whatever you want to say. It only happened one time because I knew better. All right? And I knew what was coming. So if I messed up, if we were sitting in a restaurant, you just look across the table at me, or I heard these words, do we need to go to the bathroom? Mm-mm. You know, like, but there was the look. And when he looked at me, I knew better. And it's the same way, but with my granddaughter and with my daughter, all I have to do is give the look. Mom could just, she could get on to Jaden. She could tell her no. She was whooped, cracked, whatever else. And she, in her tears, would look right at her mom and smile like, that hurt, but I will not break. I walked in the room, I'm sorry, Daddy. Like, I didn't even have to do anything. She knew. And let me tell you, there's several looks that we receive throughout the scriptures. And what I want us to see here today is to move past your past, we need to seek the presence of Jesus in the present. And so I want us to go through the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, and I want us to focus on one man in particular, and his name is Peter. Peter was a fisherman. He followed Jesus, but before he became a follower of Jesus and a fisher of men, he was just a regular old fisherman, and he wasn't very good at his job. We've talked about that. Peter was known to be impulsive and assertive. He was brash and a bit show-offish. But at the same time, he was courageous. He was the one that Jesus said, come to me. And he said, call to me, Lord. And he walked on the water. Now, Peter sank as he walked on the water, right? And everybody goes, oh, Peter sank. He took his eyes off of Jesus. Where were the other 11? In the boat, scared to death. So we see that inside of him. In John chapter 6, verse 68, after many had turned back, they were no longer following Jesus. Jesus actually turns around, looks at his disciples and says, what about you? Are you going to leave me too? And this is what Peter had to say. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. He was bold in his proclamation as well. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Matthew chapter 26, after Jesus told the disciples that he would depart, that they would depart from him, Peter was quick to say, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. We see that Peter is just full of this confidence inside of his life. He was full of pride, thinking that he was better than the other disciples. All of the rest may turn away, but not me, Jesus. But none of us would do that, right? Like, none of us would ever act like that. How many of you read through the New Testament, you read through the Gospels, and you see all of the mistakes that all of them made, and you're like, that would never be me. I would stand right by Jesus. I would be there at the foot of the cross. I would have been right there with the women. I would have been right there with John. No, you wouldn't. You'd been cowering away with the rest of them. So we have to be careful as how we see all of this playing out. Peter was confident, though, that he would not deny Christ. To prove his point, when Jesus was arrested, Peter whacked off one of the ears of the high priest's servant. But Peter was about to fail and bail on Christ in a really big way. So I want to tell you, as we get started in this message, if you've never failed, if you've never messed up, if you've never broken a promise, and if you've never sinned in a big way, you can go ahead and go home right now. this message isn't for you. So doors are open. Go ahead. All right. So we're all still here. Got it. All right. So we're all on the same page. Because if you fall short like I do, if you want to move past your past, you're in the right place. Because we know that we all have a past that we're not proud of. So I want us to consider the path of Peter and how we can see ourselves in Peter. The first thing that we see is a renounced faith. While Peter was warming himself around the fire, so Jesus has been arrested. They've taken him to the courtyard of the high priest. And as he's there, Peter and John decide that they're going to follow. Everyone else has ran away. One of the disciples actually runs away naked. Okay, like they grab him by the cloak and he takes off. They're like, they don't want to be around at all of anything that's going on. But Peter and John, they decide that they're going to follow and they're going to stay really close. And so while they're warming themselves around a fire, Mark 14, verse 65 says, Jesus was being spat upon. He's being slapped around. It says, and the guards received him with many blows. And Peter's right there and he sees everything that's going on. So here's a composite picture of Peter's slide from the four Gospels. One of the things that Peter did was he dodged the questions that came at him. When accused by a young servant girl of being with Jesus, Peter practiced evasion. Luke chapter 22, verse 57, woman, I don't know him. Notice he formally confessed Christ as the Son of the living God. And now he says, I don't even know who you talk about. And do you notice? He doesn't even use his name. Woman, I don't know him. He also distanced. Peter was there by the fire. Everyone was gathered around. And so he dodges. Now he distanced himself from the situation. Matthew chapter 26 says, and when he went out to the entrance, again, he denied it with an oath. He was swearing, I do not know the man. Not that I don't know Jesus. I don't know that man that you're even talking about. And then we see him denying as well. About an hour later, one final accusation is made, and Peter invoked a curse upon himself, and he swore his innocence. Mark chapter 14, verse 71, I do not know the man of whom you speak. And while he was speaking, the rooster crowed. Have you ever noticed that sin, the more you do it, gets easier and easier and easier? In addition, a series of bad choices can happen in a really quick succession. You make one choice, and that leads to another one, that leads to another. And here, Peter denies within about an hour. He says, he makes the bold proclamation, all others will fall away. But Jesus, I won't do so. I'm going to be here. I will never leave you. And within under an hour, he's denied him three different times. I want you to listen to what happens next. Luke 22, starting in verse 61. And the Lord turned back and looked at Peter. There's that look we talked about. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Peter got the look from the Lord. Jesus' face bruised, bloodied, his eyes black and blue, and Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Now the word looked, it means to fix the eyes intently and directly, to gaze upon. The clear implication is that their eyes met and they locked in that moment. Interestingly, this is the same word that is used when Jesus called Peter to follow him. In John chapter 1, verse 42, some 3 years earlier, Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. Peter, the rock, the little rock, had just crumbled under the pressure. I wonder what that look was like for Peter. Was it a look of judgment? Disbelief? Disappointment, disgust? Was it accompanied with a shake of the head to indicate that Peter was just a loser? Jesus just looks at him and shakes his head. I can't believe that you did this again. I don't believe that any of those are the case of the way that Jesus looked at Peter. Peter may have thought those things, but the look that I believe that he received in that very moment was one of penetrating love. Truly penetrating love. I say this because in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, when Jesus urged the rich young man to leave everything, to leave all of his idols, to leave everything behind, we read these words, and Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing." He made the same way. He looked, he gazed at this young man, and I believe that he gazed at Peter as well. You see, the Lord knows everything about you, and yet he loves you anyways. There's really nothing you can do that would make him love you more, and there's absolutely nothing you can do to make him love you less. The Lord is looking at you with love right now. He knows all that you've done. He knows all the mistakes that you have made. He remembers the broken promises. He remembers when you were hugging the toilet and say, "Lord, oh, please, I'll never drink again if you just get me through this. Oh, this toilet seat's so warm or cold." You know, like, "Lord, if you get me out of this traffic stop, I'll never speed again." Liar. "Lord, if you, I promise that, oh, I'll never eat any of this bad stuff again if I can just not eat broccoli at the church again." Like all of those things. We have broken promises, and yet there's nothing that you can do to make the Lord love you less. He looks at you, he knows you, and he loves you. According to Luke 22, verse 32, Jesus predicted Peter would bail on him. But he also said these words, and he put these words inside of Peter's mind before Peter did so. "And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Now that is some of the best news. Jesus was actually saying, "Peter, I know you're going to bail, but here's the good part. You're going to come back." There is always a way back. And you have to know that and understand that. To move past your past, seek the presence of Jesus in the present. And that's what we see really starting to happen in Peter. So he's renounced, but eventually he's going to have a repentant heart. He's going to have a repentant heart. This penetrating look of love from the Lord, I believe that it pulverized Peter with absolute guilt and shame. And when he went out, he wept bitterly. Now, this word "wept," we've talked about it. Shortest verse in the Bible, right? In John chapter 11, Jesus wept. But it's the shortest verse, but it has some of the deepest meaning to it. Because it wasn't like he went out and he shed a little tear. It was open wailing. It was loud cries. And I believe that's the same thing that we see happening here with Peter. He was so ashamed. He was guilt-ridden that he went out and he just wept and he just let it all out. The word "went away," or words "went away," actually means that he ran away from everyone. The fact he wept bitterly refers to bursting into tears. The word "bitterly" was used of the fruit of wild vines, which were excessively bitter and poisonous. It also referred to brackish and dirty water like the scum of a stagnant pond. That's what Peter did. Mark 14, 72 says that Peter broke down and wept. I picture this man just fleeing until he found a solitary place. Tears flowing down his face like he couldn't even see. His shoulders just heaving up and down as he's full of bitterness and brokenness. Ezekiel 7, 16. It's descriptive of people weeping over their sins. All of them moaning, each one over his iniquity. Psalm 51, verse 17 tells us God will not despise a broken and a contrite heart. 2 Corinthians 7, 10 says, "For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regrets." See, Peter heard the rooster crow. He received the loving look of our Lord. He remembered what Jesus had said would happen. And then there was a repentant heart. I'm reminded of Romans chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. Now, we really don't know where Peter went. After he goes outside, after he runs away, after having that look with Jesus, we really don't know much about what Peter did for the next couple of days. We don't know where he was at. We don't know what he was doing. But I'm pretty sure that he felt that he was DQ'd from being around the rest of the disciples. Peter was now a broken man. That was a good thing, because in brokenness, that is where God truly will use us. And we have to understand that. So I ask, does that describe any of you here today? I'm sure it does. But here's the part where we really come to it, because number three, there is a resurrected hope. There is a resurrected hope coming in all of that. So as we flash forward just a few days, we come to Sunday morning. The women are going to enter into the tomb on that Sunday morning. Mark 16, verse 5 says, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. They were scared to death. They had no clue what was happening after or in that moment. But then this young man who was sitting there shared the good news. We know it was an angel of the Lord. He shares good news that Jesus has risen from the dead. The angel gave the women very specific commissions and words that they are supposed to say. This is the greatest part of all as we read through this for Peter's story. Verse 7 says, but go tell his disciples and Peter. Peter was part of the disciples, right? But he specifically calls out Peter in all of this, that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. The word go means to depart and go quickly to deliver an urgent message. And notice that special shout out for Peter. Jesus wanted to make sure that Peter knew that he wasn't disqualified, that he wasn't just left out there. Now, a couple of things could be happening here. It could be that Peter felt that he was truly disqualified. It could have been that Peter was like, we've already lost Judas. Maybe I need to go as well. I thought I was the leader of this group of guys, but I failed. I bailed. I made horrible choices. Maybe he saw himself as just not being one of the disciples any longer. Maybe there was no hope left for Peter. But God wanted Peter to know that he wasn't done yet. He wanted him to know that the resurrection brings hope and healing to the hurting. Because Jesus died and was raised from the dead, he offers forgiveness and freedom to those who have truly fallen. And that is what happened here. Peter denied Jesus, but he was not disowned by Jesus. The phrase, and Peter, contains the gospel in two words. Peter, the denier, needed personal assurance. I want you to know here today that yes, we come together and the Lord loves everyone and the Lord is there for everyone, but he is also an individual God. He knows you as an individual. He knows the hairs, how many and how few. He knows them. He knows them. He knows who you are. He was there at your creation and he wants to give you a fresh start. He wants to give you a new beginning and a brand new life. I wonder what it was like when the women told Peter that they had a special message for him. Can you just imagine Peter sitting there in the corner, the rest of the disciples sitting over here talking, and then there's Peter alone in the corner, all by himself, thinking for sure there's no way that God could possibly use me ever again. I denied the Savior, but now he's given a second chance. I came across a quote this week. I just can't get it out of my mind. It says, I've given God a million reasons not to love me, and none of them changed his mind. To move past your past, seek the presence of Jesus in the present. And then we come to number four. A restored purpose. Jesus gives Peter a restored purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5 says, Jesus went out of his way to retrieve Peter, to restore him personally and privately. He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Now, Cephas is another name that means Peter for us in our English word. We don't know where this encounter took place, but Jesus tracked down Peter. He met with him before meeting with all of the other disciples. And then in John chapter 21, I love John chapter 21. Such an amazing story that is told here within this section. We read that Peter decided to go fishing with his buddies. He actually drifted back to some of his old habits. He was like, okay, well, I'm just going to go back and I'm just going to be a fisherman again because, well, Jesus is no longer here, so I might as well just go on back and become a fisherman. And, okay, I told you at the beginning, okay, when Jesus first met them 3 years ago, how many fish had Peter caught? None. All right, on this night, how many fish had Peter caught? None, yeah. He wasn't very good at his job. Okay, and so he became a fisher of men for a very specific reason, and it was because of this right here. It was unsatisfying. He wasn't very good at it, and then Jesus shows up and says, hey, I want you to cast your nets down on the other side, and there's too much for them to even pull in. Peter realizes who is right in front of him. It is the Lord, and he just jumps out of the boat and starts swimming right to he has to get to Jesus. He can't wait. It triggered memories for Peter. He realized that it was the Lord. He jumped overboard. He rushed to see Jesus. Now I want us to pick up a little bit later in John 21, starting in verse 15. I absolutely love what happens because in this moment, Peter is going to be completely restored. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Several things going on within this scripture. One of the greatest things that we're able to see here is three times. Did he need to? No. Was it meant for Peter? And I love that there are a number of looks which show us how Peter at Peter. Jesus looked at Peter after. I love the fact that John throws that in his gospel. He just has to get a dig in. Listen, if you ever doubted the scripture, that right there proves that it is real. Okay? Because Peter would have been like, hey, this is all made up. Leave that part out, John. And John's like, nope, it's staying. I love it. But as soon as he got there, he ran to the tomb and looked inside to see that it was empty. Jesus tracked down Peter and looked at him in private, and he also looked into his soul when he restored him publicly. Jesus right now is looking at you. Are you discouraged? Are you dismayed? Have you denied him in some way? How are you living? Do you need to be restored by Jesus right now? Sometimes we're so ashamed of ourselves that we feel like Jesus must be too. He's not. He knew you'd struggle with sin. He knew that you would fail. He knew that you would bail. He still died for you. He still rose on your behalf. Paul says, while we were still sinners, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Don't run from him. Run to him today. Run to him for the rest of your life. You don't have penance to work off your sins, nor do you have to perform some work in order to get back to him. Why? Because Jesus gave us a free pardon. I've always liked this statement. No matter how many steps you take away from God, it only takes one step to get back. And so this charge given to Peter at the end of John 21, verse 19, is the same one that he gives to us. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. I love it. 3 years earlier, he looked at him 3 years earlier. He looks at him after he denies him three times. He looks to him here again. And in Matthew 4:19, Jesus gave Peter an invitation. What was it? Follow me. Same exact thing. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And John 21, verse 19, he says, follow me. After his failure, Jesus gave the same call. And he gives that call to us as well. Two verses later, in verse 21, he repeats it and adds a personal plea. You follow me. It doesn't matter what your friends do. It doesn't matter what your family does. Jesus says, make sure that you follow me. It's literally translated as keep on following me. It's a key command that's always there for us. Whatever you've done in your past, follow Jesus now in the present. Take your next step forward. Peter was restored and became a fearless preacher, willing to go to the ends of the earth for Jesus. He said, whatever it takes now, whatever it takes, I know that my Lord is risen. I now fully get what is going on. He's beaten. He's flogged. He's going to be crucified, but not just crucified. He's going to be crucified upside down. And he did that because Jesus restored him. And so I want you to know, today there is hope for you. No matter what you've done, no matter how long you've been doing it, Jesus wants you to know that he is alive. The stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty, and the Lord has turned, and he's looking at you. So the question is, will you turn your face to him today? Will you put your faith in him today? Will you follow him today? On this resurrection weekend, Jesus promises forgiveness to those who have failed. And so here today, I am offering it to you as well. It's not me. It's Jesus. It's just coming through my mouth. Jesus is offering forgiveness. Jesus is offering a way back to accept him as your Lord and Savior. And so today we're going to keep worshiping. We're going to take communion here in just a moment. The choir is going to sing for us. We're going to continue in worship through praise. And at any time during that, if you need someone to talk with, if you need someone to pray with you, if you need someone to be there along the path with you, I want you to know that I'll be in the back. I want you to know that we have some awesome ladies that'll be in the back with me. Jared, our youth pastor, he'll be in the back with me. We'd love to talk with you, pray with you, walk that journey with you of knowing him as your Savior. And as I said, we're going to take communion. We take communion every Sunday here at Stafford County Christian Church. And if you're new with us, we have it on the front, it's in the back, it's on the sides. And as we partake of communion, I'm going to pray for us, and then you'll be able to get up and to receive your communion. There's two cups. The bottom one is the bread. The top one is the juice. And as we take communion, it helps us to look back, to remember truly why Friday was Good Friday. A lot of people, they're like, I don't understand that. Why do we call it good? Jesus died. That's why it's good. It's good because he died for our sins, and it's good because Sunday was coming. And so we hold on to that and we remember that. And so as we partake of communion, we remember that he gave his life for each and every one of us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, I thank you for the time that we can gather today. I thank you that you have allowed us to come here today to gather in your church building. Father, as we partake of communion, as we continue to worship you through praise, Father, I just ask that you be with each person that is here today. Father, that you will speak to their hearts as only you truly can. Father, I ask that if there is anyone here who does not know you as their Savior, that they will seek that knowledge of what it means to accept you. And Father, if there's someone here that they've been struggling with sin, they've been struggling with just hard times, and they're not really for sure where to turn, Lord, that they will know that we are here for them as well. Be with us as we continue to worship you. We pray this in your Son's most holy and precious name. Amen.